under the moonlight. Squeeze and hug me all through the night. Oh, baby, do you want to dance? Now, do you want to dance? Do you want to dance? Do you want to dance? Why do you want to dance to a rock and roll band? Come on, baby, give me your hand. All through the night, oh baby, do you wanna dance? Why do you wanna dance to a rock and roll band? Come on, baby, give me your hand, oh baby. Why do you wanna dance? Do you wanna dance? Do you wanna dance? Do you wanna dance? Why do you
Good afternoon, Montreal. It is 2:04 in studio today on CKUT 90.3 FM, which means you are currently listening to Movement Museum with myself, Alison Burns, and the lovely Karen Fennell.
Hello.
Hello. You can check us out on our blog at movement-museum.blogspot.com, or you can download our podcast on iTunes, which I just taught my mother how to do, so now she can listen to my show. I'm very excited about that. So today in studio, we have a guest, which we're very excited about. There's a show coming up next week at the Mai, which you may or may not be aware of. And actually, who we're talking to today is Farah Fancy, who is the production director of the show, Yemayo, Y-E-M-A-Y-O, by Julio Hung. And right now, we're going to talk to Farah a bit about everything, including her company, the classes they teach, the show that's going up next week. So we got to just get started. Farah, tell us a bit about yourself, how you're connected to dance, and where you come from.
Where do I come from? That's a big question. How I'm connected to dance, that's another big question. I can tell you how I'm connected to Julio Hung.
Okay, yes, let's start
that
there.
That's a good start. Way.
It's only an hour show, right? Yes. I'm the production director for the show Yemayo, which is premiering next week, as you mentioned. I've been involved since the inception of the show, which started with a movement study that happened at the Salsa Convention many, many years ago, and Julio's idea to create a choreography based on contemporary work and also infusing it with his own personal cultural background, which is from Cuba. So in this particular performance, you'll see a mix of contemporary movement as well as Afro-Cuban folkloric movements, as well as all the daily movements that he's experienced through his own life. And Julio and I have been working together for quite a few years. We started a dance company together through this performance. We also started an arts-based company, which is called the Grupo Herencias. Herencias means heritage in Spanish. And that's an art-based company in which we create productions. We also do workshops. We have a dance school. We do a bit of therapeutic intervention through the school as well. And we've been working together in multiple facets to deal particularly with the issues of culture.
I have one quick question after that introduction. You used the phrase movement from his daily life.
That's right.
Yeah. Is that like a common term you two use? And what does it mean?
He tends to use the wording ordinary movements by ordinary people in ordinary places.
So
So like pedestrian movements?
Yes. Just anything that you would do in a daily routine from everyday life, everyday people. It doesn't necessarily have to be in a dancerly way with dance training. It could just be anybody on the street doing any type of music, movement music, any type of rhythm, any type of something that he can use in his performances.
Wonderful. Maybe you can tell us a bit about Herencias, because you were explaining to us just earlier that there's several facets to your company.
That's right. Herencias started because both of us had a discussion and an interest in culture and how culture is developing in Canadian society. Basically, what we're finding right now through both of our work in community development and community bridging, that people of a second generation and then of the new generation are finding it difficult in order to function as the way that their parents and grandparents have taught them to act and behave, whether it be it through religion, values, cultural traditions, rituals, and how they're expected to behave in Canadian society. And so what we wanted to show is that you can still maintain the richness of your personal culture and heritage without losing your personality and your identity and still participating fully in Canadian society. And since both of us have a connection to the arts, both of us decided to use that means to propagate those ideas. Mm. So, for example, creating this performance, Yamayo, what we've done is we've created a workshop in connection with the performance. So prior to the run of the show on May the 2nd, we're having a workshop specifically for youth, because this performance is a performance that talks about femininity and how men can be feminine and the whole exploration of the feminine side of man. And so we wanted to do a workshop on gender equality and how men don't have to be perceived to be behaving a particular way or having to conceive of particular ways of behaving. Mm-hmm. So we've got a pre-workshop planned. We have the performance itself, and there's an artist talk that's happening. And then later after this performance, we have some interest from a couple schools in which we will bring this performance there and run the show there. And that's the hope, is that if we can take this to show at all of the elementary schools and high schools around the city, we would love to do that. And that's one aspect of the company.
Hmm. Is this a world premiere for the show?
It is a world premiere for the show.
Fantastic.
It's happening here in Montreal.
You talked about, and I know in the description of the show, it talks about this. It seems like it's an attempt to maybe break down and expand the definitions of what it is to be masculine or male, and maybe to attempt to create a kind of freedom from traditional expectations or...
Yes, exactly.
Ideas that men...
And originally this piece was conceived of as a solo piece. And Julio felt that there were so many dimensions to himself, particularly because his own background comes from four different ancestries. He's Cuban born. His grandparents are Aboriginal Cuban, Spanish, Chinese, and also Haitian.
Wow.
And from that, he couldn't explore the full range of the exploration himself. So now there are four different dancers who are performing this piece to represent each of the four different sides that he comes from and to fully explore the idea of how femininity can be discussed by men.
That's really interesting. And do you feel like, is that something that in showing the piece in schools and doing workshops with youth, like you feel like, is that an issue that the company is attempting to kind of target?
Gender equality in general?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Through the work that we've done, just through our own different backgrounds, gender equality, especially in particular cultural communities, seems to be a big issue, mm-hmm. Just in terms of future development, confidence building, self-esteem, also just in terms of even self-acceptance and also self-expression. So if we can create more just awareness around the issues of gender equality, we find that people will probably better self-express themselves, and hopefully the arts will flourish even more than they are right now.
What form do these workshops take? Is it like a talk back? Is it a movement workshop? What happens within the workshops? Or is that top secret?
No, it's not top secret. All of the workshops take place in different forms. It depends on the age groups that are going to be involved. But all of the workshops, we always make them interactive and arts-based. So there'll be a visual art component to it. There'll be a dramatic component to it, music component, and also a dance component to it. And it depends on our space as well. So the performance and workshop on the 2nd of May, then we're dealing with the cafeteria and the theater itself at the May. But we also have different workshops planned in different places in elementary schools and high schools later on that don't specifically deal with this performance per se, but to deal with the same issues of culture and to bring dance and dance forms into the school system and to deal with the issues that we're finding related to culture and heritage.
You know, this explosion of so you think you can dance, and like in the popularization of breakdance, and more boys are interested in dancing now than ever, and it's kind of an appropriate time for this subject to be talked about, I think.
One of the dancers appeared on So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh,
he was in the top 100.
Wow. That's cool. Did you want to talk a little bit more specifically about this show?
We have a track, if you'd like to bring that up now, kind of set the mood of the performance. Does that sound good?
Sure, we can do that.
All right, so this is our way of fixing dance on the radio, is you get to listen to a bit of the music from the soundtrack of the production, so you can kind of see a little bit more of what we're talking about. So here we go. Thank you. Farah, can you tell us what we were just listening to?
That piece is an Orun Seiko, which is three bata players who are just playing around together, and they're using the rhythms of the different Yoruba dances from the different orishas. So we heard a couple of the different orishas there that you'll see demonstrated in the show, except more in a contemporary fashion. And it's part of the prologue of the Yamayo piece.
Okay. Yeah. And are there live musicians in the show, or is
no?
Recorded?
There are no live musicians. This that you're hearing right now is the soundscape of the show itself.
Okay. If you are tuning in, we're talking to Farah Fancy, who's the production director of the production, and we've been jumping all over the place because we're so excited about what is going on. But let's center ourselves and talk quickly about the performance itself. It's four male dancers, am I right?
That's right. They're all Cuban-born dancers. Julio Hong is the choreographer of the show, and he's dancing in the show as well. He's got three other dancers with him. The first one is Jusmani Perez Pulido, Jose Esposito Sanchez, Reynaldo Gilbert Sotolongo, and they're dancing with Julio Hong. And as I mentioned, they're all Cuban-born dancers who are going to be dancing in the show.
And Julio is based in Montreal, right?
That's right. He's been here since 1999.
Okay. And are those dancers all dancers that live here as well?
They all live here now, yes.
Okay. They just are of
Yes, they've
Cuban
all
descent.
Recently arrived within the past 5 years or so.
Okay.
So they're relatively new immigrants to Montreal. And this is their first time that they're going to be performing in a contemporary performance. So it's a big day for them on the 3rd of May.
Oh, that's exciting. Maybe I have a question about, I guess, the style of dance or style of movement that Julio is working with in this piece. It's pulling from traditional Afro-Cuban dance, but is it diverging from that and attempting to do something that is more...
What he likes to say is that he's taking movements from his personal heritage, which is the Afro-Cuban movement, since he is from Cuba himself, mm-hmm. and refining it with contemporary dance and also with ballet.
Okay.
And plus infusing it with movements that he sees in everyday life. Like, mm-hmm. for example, since this particular show is dealing with femininity, mm-hmm. things that you may see a woman do or mothers do, you may right. see elements of that woven into the piece.
Because Julio himself comes from a mixed training background, right? He's trained in contemporary dance.
That's right. And he's a neoclassical ballet-trained dancer.
Wow. So he must have quite a bank of forms of movement at his disposal.
That's right. And in Cuba, as part of the fundamental dance program, then you have to learn all of the international dances, as well as the folkloric dances that come from Latin America and as well as Cuba. So wow. he learned all of the Afro-Cuban dances as well.
This wow. gave me some perspective on his background, is hearing who he's worked with in Montreal, including the Rubber Band Dance Group and Marie Chouinard herself, so to give some context to his history. Yeah,
that's right. He also was a dancer on the show Les Matchs des Étoiles. Mm. For those of you who watch French television, it's basically the equivalent of Dancing with the Stars,
Amazing.
But it's French. He was doing that in Montreal for a couple of years as well.
I'm just going to reiterate the facts about the show. It's starting next Thursday night is the opening night, May 3rd, and running through Saturday night at 8 p.m. at the May. The address is 3680 Jean Mance, and you can get tickets, I imagine,
directly from the May. And there's
May.
A show on the Sunday, May the 6th as well. That's a matinee performance, and that's a family performance. So children 16 and under are free to attend.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then, as I mentioned before, there's a workshop that's happening on May the 2nd, which includes the workshop itself, the performance, and a post-artist talk.
And this show is also, I'm just noticing, presented in collaboration with the Festival Accès Asie.
That's right.
I don't know very much about this festival,
yeah,
actually.
Can you fill us in?
Anything about
that festival promotes arts from different Asian cultures. And so since Julio has a Chinese background,
okay,
that's why he's being promoted as part of the show. And actually, it's a premiere of the festival.
So I think we've covered the show. I would love to get back to maybe your company and what you're working on right now in terms of dance and the other aspects in Montreal.
Well, the show, as I mentioned, is part of the company, and we are hoping to promote it to go to elementary schools and high schools starting in the fall, in which case the performers and the dancers will come to the school and actually do a performance and intervention there. Another thing that we do is we do workshops in elementary schools and high schools, and we have a few bookings coming up in the city of Vaudreuil-Dorion, in which we're going to be doing workshops related to getting to understand where we come from in the world. So this is a program more for younger children, and we're using rhythm and motion in order to introduce these concepts, different ways of communicating. So we have different workshops designs that we have using the arts, all to, again, to talk about heritage and culture. We also do a little bit of therapeutic intervention. I'm a recreation therapist who is very interested in body-mind centering, and I'm studying to be a dance movement therapist. Hopefully later on when we get the funding, we can hire dance movement therapists to offer proper dance movement therapy. But that's something for the future where the company will grow. And the last thing that we offer is we offer dance classes because we have our dance school, which is the Afro-Cuban Association of Montreal.
Okay. And where is the school located?
It's 4374 Saint-Lachan. We use the space at Nayati Niata, which is corner of Saint-Lachan and Marianne.
Very accessible.
And do you have classes for like for kids and adults as well?
Children are welcome to come to the classes. They're mixed level and mixed gender, mixed ability, mixed gender classes. We offer 5 classes a week. So we offer Cuban salsa classes at different sort of with different focuses, or foci, I should say. And actually, one of the dancers, Josue, he offers 2 classes at the school. One is a Cuban salsa class, and another class is a contemporary dance fusion class. So in that class, he mixes contemporary movement with urban and also Afro-Cuban movement.
Wow, that does, sounds really cool.
Yeah, he does floor work and a lot of weight transfer training. So it's very interesting the way that he approaches it. That somebody asked him the other week in class was, do I move my head like this or like this? I know this is hard to explain on the radio. And he said, I don't want you to move like a dancer. I want you to move like a human being. And the other class, of course, that we offer is offered by Julio himself. It's a Afro-Cuban dance class, which is a folkloric class that uses Yoruba, Arara, and Congo. And the last class we offer is a reggaeton class.
Wow. I want to go check out some of these classes.
You were explaining to me briefly what the difference is between like a straight-up African class and an Afro-Cuban dance class.
I'm not going to go into the details of it because Africa is a huge continent and I don't want to misrepresent what African dance is. But I can speak about the Yoruba dances specifically. So Yoruba was an area or is an area in Africa where people were enslaved and brought over to Cuba. And at that time, then they were able to promote some of their dances while they were there and taught the people who were there. And they mixed with all of the different cultures that were already in existence. So Cuba, when it was times of the slavery, they were mixed from all different locations. And the reason for that was so that people couldn't communicate with each other, so that they could communicate through the dance. So the rhythms and the rhythmic pattern and also the music itself, like you heard in the Orensecupes, is a little bit different than a waltz where you can find the 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Mm-hmm. It's very different in terms of even how you find your body posturing. It's more of an inside-out type of formulation. And even when we do the class, we use live musicians for those classes, and we don't use mirrors because the instructors really want you to have a sense of feeling the music first and then being able to move. And the movement from an outward perspective will come once you feel it, but it doesn't matter what it looks like. It's more that you have the intention there and know how to dance it properly through your heart, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because that is, I guess, quite different than certain Western dancing traditions, like such as ballet.
Where outwardly your fingers have to be a particular way, or even if you're learning ballroom dance, your frame has to be a certain way, and outwardly it has to look a certain way. For these dances, it's more important that inwardly you feel a certain way, which is more of a different philosophy that I guess we're coming from. And all the classes that we teach at the dance school come from that philosophy. Like even for let's say, the reggaeton class. It's not necessarily to learn a specific dance technique in reggaeton. It's so that anyone who comes to the class can have fun while they're in the class. And if they happen to go dancing later on, or they're dancing in their kitchen or wherever they're listening to music, they have an idea of how to have fun and feel confident about their bodies and who they are and not what they look like, and just that they can move.
Mm-hmm. So what do you wear to such a class?
Whatever you want. The instructors always promote that you wear something that you feel good in. Mm-hmm. So not necessarily something where you feel like you're really frumpy and you can't move. But so some girls, they come dressed up to the class, and some guys, they come wearing some stylish clothes. Some people just want to wear comfortable yoga pants. Whatever you feel good in, because it depends on what you're doing in the day, that's what you come in. And for all of the classes, they're completely, completely mixed level, mixed body types, mixed abilities. And the reason why we mix them is because we don't want people to feel that they have to pass through certain levels, that they have to attain a certain goal before they can move on. Mm-hmm. We want them to feel that you can have fun in the class, because even if you go out dancing or out in the world, there's always going to be people at different levels dancing in different ways and different mm-hmm. styles and different abilities. So we should dance together even in the dance classes.
That's a great philosophy. I really want to come and check out one of these classes. I'm going to get the info from you later.
Sure.
Do you guys have a website or something? Or if people want to find out info about these classes, how do they do that?
Sure. You can, again, contact me at the email address at info@juliohong.com.
So that must be, that's Julio's website then.
That's the main website. So it's www.juliohong.com. Or else we have a Facebook site set up for this particular show, which if you do a Facebook check under Julio Hong Yemayo, you'll find the Facebook site, and we can link you to the website through there as well.
Great.
I would like to talk about dance therapy a little bit, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
I know it's a huge topic. We can't cover it all. But yeah, how... Because it's difficult to become a dance therapist in Canada, if not impossible. Is that right?
Well, unfortunately, there's no place to complete your training in Canada at the moment. You have to go to the United States in order to become an accredited dance movement therapist. Or you can do it through an alternative route. And that basically means that you can get a master's degree in a related field, not necessarily to dance. It could be in social work, it could be in psychology, and there's specific credentials that you have to fulfill. Then you go through an alternative route training program, which only takes place in the States, unfortunately, right now. And then you apply to the ADTA, which is the American Dance Therapy Association, to make sure that your credentials are all up to par, and then you can become a dance movement therapist.
And it's recognized in Canada, it's just not offered.
That's right. It is recognized in Canada, but it's not offered. So it is part of the creative arts therapies.
I'm curious, does dance movement therapy usually happen as an individual session or in a group session?
It could happen in either form.
In either one?
Yes. It's the same as all the ways that art therapists practiced. Mm-hmm. Art therapists, music therapists, drama therapists. You can do individuals, you can do small groups, or you can do large groups.
And people of any age, I imagine.
Of any age, of any population. I can give you an example. Like right now, as part of the company, I'm the movement choreographer for a performance that's coming up for the Center for the Arts and Human Development. And that's a performance with people with differing disabilities. They've got different intellectual disabilities, this particular group. And we're putting together an ethnographic performance based on culture, which is, again, why I'm related to this performance. And we're using dance movement therapy techniques to get the ethnography movements, or the ethnographic movements out of them, so that we can create the movement script and put together a show.
Wow. Can you, maybe this is hard to answer, but can you give me an example of, like, you said dance movement therapy techniques, like, of a kind of exercise that you might do as a dance movement therapist, or...
I can give
you
an example.
I'm just trying to envision what exactly it is, and I don't quite know.
What example a dance movement therapy technique would be? Say, for example, if you're doing a calming exercise or a group exercise, and you want people to, you want people to relax and not feel anxious. So this would be a way of getting people to use their own movement ability to calm themselves down, say, for example, before a show. So this is kind of challenging to do on the radio because it's much easier to see. Yeah. But for all of you people listening at home, if you were to clasp your hands together and squeeze them together and say the word break, this would be the start of a movement therapy exercise. I call it the five B's. So if you were to squeeze your hands together, it takes all that nervous energy away and it pushes on your palms without your fingers interlinking. Then the next step you could do is put your hands on your head, and that would be your brain. So B for brain. And you can use this with children. I use it with my own kids as well. So that you refocus and you think, okay, what is your task at hand? Hmm. What are you working on right now? What are you concentrating on? The next thing you would do is B for brain, and you can just move your arms in whatever fashion you'd like to. So you take breaths in and breaths out, and depending on how stressed or anxious or frustrated you are at the moment, you would take that many breaths. So it could be anywhere from 2 to 6 breaths, depending on the group or the individual. Then you could put your hands crossed on your heart or crossed over your heart, and that would be putting your hands on your body, so another B for body. So that you refocus, that your body is here now in the present. And the last thing that I add into that is a butterfly tap, in which you just tap your hands on your chest. And that's a technique that we use also when we work with victims of different trauma or violence. Mm. It's a calming technique to just relax. And for kids, they tend to find it that it's fun.
Mm-hmm. So it was awesome. It was break, brain, breath, body, and butterfly.
That's right, five B's.
I like that.
It's easy to see the visuals, but I'm sure you can imagine at home what it looks like.
I feel like that kind of thing would probably be really great for like kids that are having trouble in school, like kids that have things like ADD and...
Yeah, it's good for anybody.
Yeah.
I mean,
obviously we're all dancers. We believe in the power and the importance of movement, but...
That's right. I mean, I could say for my own kids, for example, if they're frustrated or they're fighting, then I'll just say, okay, break, and they have to clasp their hands together. So right away, it stops them from whatever circumstance that they're in at the moment. Sometimes it doesn't work because they don't listen because they're kids, but it's always worth a try. But it's a thing that you could do either as an individual or as a group. And say, for example, if you've got a group of kids who are not focusing or paying attention, and you just do the break thing, it gets them to refocus and recharge and remember that they're here and they have a specific task. Mm. So we use these kind of techniques to train in different ways using your body so that they can become more confident in whatever they're doing, whether it be a performance or whether it be just in their daily tasks.
That's awesome.
Is this an interest in dance therapy that's grown out of doing these workshops, or that grew before, or... I'm trying to ask, why are you interested in dance therapy? But I'm trying to make it not quite such a huge question at the same time. Because it seems relevant to the work that you're doing. You're trying to make, you know, cultural, social shifts, and, you know, in tandem with dance.
Well, my own history is that I started off my career as a recreation therapist, and I worked in a Jewish Orthodox seniors residence. And at that time, I was working with a lot of Holocaust survivors. And the majority of them, they weren't able to verbalize anymore what had happened to them, either because they didn't want to say any longer or they just couldn't because it was difficult for them to talk about. The ones who could verbalize it, that was fine. They would be able to say. But after a while, I found that if I started to get them to show me what it meant, how they were feeling, they were able to communicate much more than trying to say the words, mm-hmm. especially after some of them started to get older and unfortunately dementia started to set in. So then I shifted work and I started working, because I really like dance, I started working as a dance instructor, and I found that there was something lacking there. I had a lot of private students. I worked with a lot of couples, and they basically ended up using it as a talk therapy session. They would be dancing. They wouldn't even remember that they were dancing and learning something new necessarily, because they'd be telling me what's going on with their relationships, telling me everything that would be happening for them. So I realized how powerful and strong dance could be to get a motivating force to make changes and shifts in your life. And so that's why I started to investigate. And over time, I started to find out about how Julio also had a very strong interest in dance and how it can be therapeutic. And in fact, he is very interested in body-mind centering, and he's worked with students who have dropped out of high school to get them reintegrated back into school and to use dance as a way to motivate them to get back into school. So we both have sort of a history of trying to use dance as a way to be therapeutic.
I feel like maybe this is a good segue into what we're also going to talk a little bit about on the show, which is the fact that this is Quebec Dance Week here in Quebec. And in a lot of other places as well, it's National or International Dance Week, culminating with International Dance Day activities this weekend. I mean, it's one of those things that's sort of like, really, like just a day to celebrate dance or talk about dance. But it's great that we have a whole week this year.
Every day is Dance Day.
Every day is Dance Day, but not necessarily in the lives of the general population. And one thing that's great about this week, for example, in Quebec, is that there's all kinds of activities that I think just give a little bit more visibility to dance and to the various dancers and companies and all the variety of things that are happening. Here, there's a lot of free classes and free shows and open studio kind of situations happening. Is there anything specific that your company is doing in relation to this
actually
week,
or
is it mainly the show?
It's the show that's the main thing that we're focusing on right now.
So sort of coming on the heels of this.
That's right. And that's why there's a show on Sunday, and we added the workshop performance as well. And we're continuing all of our dance classes as usual so that we can put it out there. But one of the things I thought I'd mention is that Julio always talks about how dancing is just another way of walking.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to push that philosophy out there that anyone can dance. And mm-hmm. everyone should just see it as another form of walking. So it can happen anytime, not just on dance day.
Totally.
So we'll say goodbye to Farah Fancy right now and say thank you very much for coming in studio and talking to us about your company and Julio's show. And yes, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Movement Museum on CKUT 90.3 FM. Our guest has left, but we're still here, Allison Burns and Karen Fennell in studio with you, and we are not done talking about dance for the day. So listen up, we're moving on to some dance news. As Karen mentioned before, it is a very special week in the dance world.
Yes, it is. Here in Montreal and in the province of Quebec, it is the first edition of Quebec Dance Week. In other years, there's been other events that have taken a similar format, Pas de Danse, Pas de Vie, Journée Internationale de la Danse, basically either being a day or several days of activities to celebrate the richness of dance in this province. And to, I think the main thing that this week does is just gives a lot more visibility to what is happening. So this year we have a whole week. I was there on Monday night for the opening evening, which was at the Marie Chouinard Studios, and it was a dance film screening night, which was really great. There was probably, I would say, about maybe 15 short films.
Do you get breaks in between them?
No, but it was only like an hour in total.
Okay.
Like some things were short like 60 films. Seconds.
They didn't show Pina.
No, no 2-hour Pina Bausch film. But yeah, it was a great little kind of gathering of the dance community. And all week long throughout the city, there have been various free dance classes happening, as well as open rehearsals and performances. And as I said, most of these things are free.
And I believe you can get like a comprehensive agenda if you go to 2012.quebecdance.org.
Yes, this is correct. You can see all of the activities that are happening.
This might be the first dance week, but the dance day has been around forever, which is the mm-hmm. 29th of April. And every year they choose a different porte-parole and they do a speech. And you can actually have, forget what I've seen these before, but you can see all the speeches and people like Marie Chouinard and you know, big names, big wigs in dance have done these porte-paroles. And they're small speeches and they're usually very moving. Hmm. And this year it looks like Marc Boivin is doing the porte-parole, if I'm not mistaken. And he is the Régiment Québécois de la Danse. He's the head of that right now.
There are free classes happening, and I'm teaching a free class.
Oh!
There's a gyrokinesis class with me.
What is a gyrokinesis, Karen?
Gyrokinesis. I'm just reading the French translation. That's
but
you,
aren't you
thing.
Teaching
like,
the class?
Oh. No, I know, but I'm like, oh, interesting.
Fair enough.
Gyrokinesis is a movement form that was developed by ex-professional ballet dancer. It's sort of in the same school of things such as yoga, tai chi, various kinds of martial arts, and borrows movements from yoga and dance, gymnastics and swimming. But it's basically a method of training the body and mind and spirit that involves a lot of mobilization of the spine and works with spiraling and waving motions in the body.
Is this an advanced class or is this something anybody can take?
No, it's something anybody can take, and that's sort of one of the things that is really great about it. It's quite malleable, and it is as our guest was talking about, it is an inside out approach to movement, and the idea is really to use breath to create basically more freedom of movement in the body, and also part of the philosophy of gyrokinesis is that moving and exercising should be enjoyable and that it should make you feel good. So it makes you feel very good and gives you lots of energy. It's great basically for all the systems of the body, the nervous system, the digestive system, the organs. That's a long explanation of gyrokinesis. So that's a little taste of what's happening for International Dance Week. There are many more things. There's performances and open studios and open classes every day up until Sunday. So please check out the website, www.2012.quebecdance.org.
I think we're good. Do you have any last words before we say goodbye today?
It's International Dance Week, everybody. Just
Yay!
Go out and dance and see some dance and take a dance class and...
Dance like nobody's watching.
Dance like nobody's watching.
Wonderful. All right. So for Movement Museum here on CKUT 90.3 FM, I'm Allison Burns.
And I'm Karen Fennell.
And we'll see you next week.
And hug me.